Welcome to Season 3 of the Chai Break Podcast. We're excited to engage in more inspiring chaivisations around our cross-cultural experiences.
This season, we're diving deep into an often gray area and a taboo in our culture, mental health and well-being. So, join us on our mission to break the barriers and get comfortable in those often uncomfortable spaces. Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Chai Break Podcast. Today's episode is very special. It's nothing like we've ever done before. Five women spread across continents and coasts, from Dubai to New York, Cleveland to California, and Miami, all sharing one common goal: to normalize, educate, and inform women everywhere about a critical stage in our lives that is simply not talked about enough. And most of us go into it, and many go through it even, totally unprepared. If you're wondering what we're referring to, we're talking all about the true midlife crisis in a woman's life and her health, perimenopause, and how it affects our mental health. Rama and I are delighted to have with us today the powerhouse duo from the popular NRI Woman podcast, Bettina Toro and Ninora Brookshire. Welcome, ladies. Welcome to the Chai Break Podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. It's a pleasure to join you on your podcast.
Yeah, it's truly a pleasure. And we also have with us today Aarti Dusene Rao, a dear friend who's more like family. So ladies, we're so happy you're here with us today, and you're going to be sharing your personal journey with us and our listeners.
That's right. So yeah, welcome to the Chai Break Podcast. Aarti and I go back many, many years. She is family. And Bettina and Ninora, you guys are just truly amazing. We've recorded a podcast with you guys before. And just having you as guests on this podcast is just absolutely a thrilling experience. And we look forward to speaking and just like, you know, going in depth about everything that we know about perimenopause before we even knew that what was happening to us. Yeah. So there we go.
So let's start with a little introduction from each of you. You know, this is unlike what we usually do, but since we're so many of us, I feel like a little introduction to, you know, who you are, what you do, and also why you thought it was important to be on this episode of our podcast and share your stories.
Hi, everyone. My name is Aarti Dusene Rao. A little introduction about myself. I live in California. Currently, I'm taking a break from working. I'm trying to build up something independently on my own, a passion project within the fashion industry that I've wanted to do for a while. But before I took this break, I was in finance. I managed the compliance team for Crypto Bank of the West project management. So, you know, it's been execution, high stress job for like the last 15 or so years. And the breaks, very welcome, has allowed me to focus on more creative things in my life.
Wonderful. And Bettina?
Yep. Hi, I'm Bettina, and I'm based in Dubai. I am mum to two children and a gorgeous pup. And I have my own business, which I run with my husband. It's a branding and design agency. But my passion is sharing stories, which I do with my co-host, Ninora, and we host a podcast called NRI Woman, where we share stories of women of Indian origin living across the world. And I'm excited to be here on this podcast and share my journey and my experience of what it has been to deal with perimenopause.
Lovely. Thank you, Bettina. Ninora.
Good afternoon, ladies. Thank you so much for having Bettina and me on your platform. We're super grateful to be here and just having this conversation with y'all, much needed conversation with y'all. I'm Ninora Brookshire. I'm a 52-year-old mom of two college students residing in Miami with my husband of 28 years. After dedicating almost 18 years of my life as a stay-at-home mom, in 2020, I embarked on a new chapter and I'm now a licensed realtor in Miami, in the Miami area. My menopause journey began in my mid-40s. Though I was initially unaware of the changes my body was undergoing, you know, I chalked up my hair loss to years of modeling, my weight gain to love of wine, sleep deprivation, mood swings, you know, many a times having self-doubt, very low self-esteem, et cetera, et cetera. And the list goes on. I'm grateful for this chance to learn from all of you and basically speak more on this so-called taboo topic, a much needed conversation to have and be part of. Like I said, it wasn't until the passing of my mom in 2008 that I realized that I had no one to guide me through this whole transition and pretty much looked to Google for help. Today, I realized that I'm not alone. We're all in this together. I know everyone's fighting this fight, this menopause battle, be it peri, meno, or post. So I'm very, very determined to start an open dialogue about menopause, sharing my firsthand experience, learning from all of you, and just kind of, you know, paving the path more so for women who are not aware, and more so for my daughter, who eventually will go through it. So I'm hoping to be a mentor that I never had, and I'm hoping to learn from all of you as well.
That is so amazing and beautifully said. I think that's exactly why we're here, to open up the dialogue amongst ourselves, to share our personal experiences. So before we dive in, I go back to the time when, you know, me and Rama were planning out this season, and Rama suggested that we do perimenopause and mental health, because as you all know, we're in the mental health season of the Chai Break podcast. And I was like, okay, sure, let's do it. And I'm like, wait, but what is perimenopause? Because I knew nothing about it. I've heard and know bits about menopause, and, you know, but I was like, what is perimenopause? So Rama, you know, you're in the medical profession, so why don't you give us a medical definition of what perimenopause is? Break it down for us.
Sure. So, you know, even as a medical professional, as a physician, perimenopause has been one of these mysterious terminologies that we kind of talk about, but really nobody really does anything about it. So it's kind of getting traction more so in the recent times, because I think we're hearing a lot of buzz about women are being more self-aware about why things are changing in their body, what's happening to their mental health, why is there a sudden decline in some of the faculties, and so on. So I think that's sparking a lot of debate, and this whole topic of perimenopause has kind of become a much bigger topic than was back in the day when I was in medical school, trying to learn some things about this. Menopause, yes, that is a hot topic. You know, once your periods stop, your hormones decline, and, you know, you have issues from that. Everybody talks a lot more about that. And that is something I think people expect down the line, like in the 50s, mid-50s, and, you know, even, you know, 60s and beyond is what that kind of conversation happens around that age group. But, you know, having a 30-year-old, 35-year-old going through mental health issues, and suddenly seeing body changes, suddenly attributing the hair loss, like Nenora was mentioning, people might be wondering, oh, is it thyroid? Is it, do you have any issues? Oh, you're just having trouble dealing with it. You're just having issues. You know, there are a lot of other causes to that kind of age group starting to have issues. And that is where perimenopause comes to light. It means it's around menopause and refers to the time during which your body is making that natural transition to menopause, where it's slowly ending the reproductive years and it is completing that cycle to end in a menopause years, where your reproductive years just come to an end. So that time period where your body is transitioning from a very robust, healthy, reproductive, you know, life or cycles, and that transition from where it comes to a stop, that time period is perimenopause. And this, you know, for people, it could be just 2 years, it could be 10 years for some people. So the question comes as to, you know, is this menopause? No, it is not menopause. You still have your periods. You know, you're capable of reproducing, you know, it's, all of that is fine. But your hormones, which was working at certain levels, now slowly starts to decline. The end effects of those decline is what leads to menopause. But there will be some, the transition period shows some changes in the body, which is perimenopause. So I hope that is clear. But Google has so many more definitions. And really, I kind of dived into it only because of some experience I started having and wondering, is it really something that my body is going through? So,
which we will get into, which we'll discuss in detail. So, of course, right, there is so much more to this, the ripple effects of a woman's physical health, mental health, and the overall quality of your life. And that's exactly what we're here to talk about. So to begin today's discussion, one of the things, you know, as I was prepping for this episode, I was just looking at some statistics. You know, like we did with mental health, similarly with perimenopause. And of course, one of the most alarming things was the lack of awareness, the lack of education. So according to one survey conducted by the BMC Women's Health based in Boston, a peer-reviewed journal,
which included women under the age of 40 who are in the age range of perimenopause and menopause. Across all of these age groups, two different studies were conducted, and it was found that women primarily lacked education. And not only women, the general population, but also healthcare, their healthcare professionals also lacked adequate training around this issue. So this resulted in women entering this critical life stage with a lack of knowledge, support, and appropriate healthcare. I think this is something that, you know, following different doctors who specialize in this, reading up on it in preparation for this episode, that's one common thread that is found, that it's not only women who are going through it that don't know enough about it, even medical professionals, you know, during their training are not enough trained about this. Now, starting our discussion, I think one of the primary things is that the relation to whether it's mental health or perimenopause and mental health is the intersectionality when it comes to our culture, our cross-cultural experiences, and all of the stigmas, you know, associated with topics like mental health and perimenopause, etc. Now, speaking of awareness, what has your experience been, both before you experienced perimenopause and as you began to experience it? And did you actually talk to your mother, grandmother, aunts about this? And did you even know that you were going through this? Or did you know when they were going through this in their lives? And has there been an open dialogue through your own journey? So I would love to hear each of your thoughts on that.
I'm happy to go first. So I am 46 years old. My experience with perimenopause started maybe a couple of years ago when my period had always been like, you could set the clock to my period. You know, it would be on time, always 4 days and then done. Things started changing a couple of years ago and it became more erratic. And I realized that, you know, this might be the start of my body changing. And I asked my mom about it. And, you know, I feel like the previous generation either is not comfortable talking about it or they kind of forget. You know, it's been a while. They're like, yeah, well, this happens, you know. She's like, you know, yeah, my period started getting off for a while. But then, you know, I took some Ayurvedic medicine and I was fine. So that was all I got from her. And the reason why I was so interested in being part of this discussion late last year, and this is going to be TMI, but I feel like this is much needed TMI. I started bleeding towards the end of November and I did not stop bleeding like heavily until mid-January. And that freaked me out. You know, it was super heavy. You know, it was just all sorts of things coming out of my body. I went to see a doctor, you know, we did tests, but do I have a fibroid? Do I have cancer was also, you know, kind of being discussed. So, you know, we did everything that needed to be done. And then eventually they were just like, oh, you know what? It's just perimenopause. They put the first kind of, you know, answer to that was birth control. You know, like just put you on birth control, you know, reduce the symptoms, you know, go on with your life, be happy about it. I'm not very comfortable with that. I tried it. It didn't stop my bleeding. Then they put me on progesterone. That didn't happen. It became then, you know, like stronger progesterone. Finally, it stopped. But before it stopped, I actually expelled my uterine wall. And nobody warned me that this is a possibility. Like I had cramps like I was giving birth. And I was like, what is happening? I woke up from my sleep. I was, you know, I had contractions. And then something came out. And I went to the bathroom to take a look. And it was just big chunk of tissue, this thick, looked like, you know, strawberry kind of reddish with bumps on it. And I was like, what the hell is this? Like, you know, I was convinced that something was super wrong. That, you know, they sent it for biopsy, was wondering what it was. Eventually, I realized after much kind of Google research going on, you know, like groups that would help me understand, and I realized this is actually fairly common. Women do, when your periods get irregular, women do expel your uterine wall because it builds up and your body is just trying to take care of itself. I just wish, you know, someone told me this was kind of a possibility. I spoke to my mom about it and she had no idea. I spoke to my friends. You know, the thing with modern life, I think, you know, IUDs is very common. Most of my friends have IUDs, so they don't experience it. Most of them don't even have periods. So they were like, I don't know, you know, a couple of them had their uterine removed because they didn't want to deal with this. So I really had no one to talk to about this. You know, I completely felt lost. And I was like, why would you not have this information readily available? You know, you want to think about, you know, losing weight. They are like, you know, so many ads. Oh, take this drug, do this, do that, you know, to lose weight. Why won't someone tell you, here's what you're going through in menopause or perimenopause. Here's how your body is changing. Here's how you can do to kind of, you know, deal with it without, you know, putting you on like IUD or birth control. I'd like for there to be a natural discussion on, or a natural solution to how we can deal with this without having drugs in there. Sorry, I've rambled on. So, but you know, that's exactly where I stand, in the sense that I feel that my experience with this firsthand, you know, for me as a, I think, normal, healthy person, to think that the first thing that was wrong with me was potentially cancer, you know, that's a little scary. Like, it doesn't have to be like that. You know, I feel like this is normal. It should be normalized. It should be talked about that this is what happens. I completely agree with, you know, all of you here on the hair loss, weight gain. You know, that's a different issue, I think, that we'll talk about when we talk about mental health. I think all of that ties in with, you know, emotions and dealing with that. But this was kind of my firsthand physical experience on WTF is happening.
Yeah. No, actually, Aarti, when you were telling me about this, you know, it's so shocking that, you know, all of this happened and there's not enough information. But I actually, briefly, when I, you know, talked about you being on the podcast, I remember the one line you told me, I thought I was dying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember you really saying that. And now I realize how I didn't, I was like, wondering, like, why did she say that? I don't know. But now it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
You know, it just makes perfect sense.
You know, I went to the doctor. We were going to get a pap smear or something done. And this was during that period where I didn't stop bleeding. And I, you know, took my, you know, like, pants off and everything. And gush of blood. Like, the floor was just, you know, like, there was just a big puddle of blood. And I was like, how is this normal? How am I still functioning with losing so much blood? Yeah. I had low iron. I spent all of, you know, January just sleeping because I was just exhausted.
Yeah. But, wow.
You know, it was just one of those experiences where, you know, it took me, like, it was just a shocking thing. And I just wish more information is available to realize this is actually fairly, hey, you know, this could happen. Mm-hmm. You know, here's what you could do.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. I mean, that's so raw and vulnerable. And those are the exact kind of experiences that we need to be sharing with other women. So that, you know, we don't feel alone. And I cannot imagine how alone you felt in that journey with no information available and nobody knowing what's happening. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. And that's why I feel strongly that this needs to be shared. And I don't want to, you know, leave out the gory details because I don't want to, you know, like, sanitize this. There's nothing that needs to be sanitized. Yeah. I feel like the more we open up about this, I think the more information there will be out there. Thank you for allowing me to do that.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
I can go. I can go because I want to give more time for Bettina and Ninora's thing. So, you know, because I've been talking about this in our other podcast as well. So perimenopause to me kind of came as a bit of, you know, I started noticing that there was something wrong in the way my emotion, I was able to handle emotions. It was nearly not the body physiology. It was not the weight gain or hair loss. It kind of took a little bit later. But I think my first sign was emotional, you know, emotional imbalances in the sense of like how I was taking things, or I was very sensitive. I was very, it was very easy for me to get hurt. And I was going through, you know, some shaky times with my first marriage. And I'm thinking maybe there was a part of perimenopause there as well when I started getting more sensitive in my own first marriage. And then now, you know, it's not like, you know, I changed the marriage and everything is hunky-dory. The same emotions continue. And now I realize that probably there was this hormonal effect to everything that I didn't realize back then as well. And the other thing is, and my body physiology started changing. Of course, the hair loss happened. I started developing autoimmune symptoms. And I was attributing that to also my body's, I'm getting autoimmune, I need to do detox. And I did all of that. But then I think the burning coal under all of that was perimenopause. Mm-hmm. So, you know, once you're reproductive hormones decline, it's kind of like it sends a whole ripple effect for the other hormones to also malfunction. And this is subtle, but then that's how your body, some people get autoimmune symptoms, some people get thyroid symptoms, some people get you know, like uterine endocrine kind of symptoms. So I think it is just the basic cause is your cortisol level controlling your hormone level, reproductive hormones, and the ripple effect from that. So mental health was the first way. And my mom is an OBGYN, so I did talk to her and she had no clue. And so on paper, when you test your hormones, estrogen, progesterone, they're normal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people go and like, go do this test. Oh, what are you talking about? These are all normal. It's all in your head. And then you realize, no. You have to see a trend. You don't see it one particular value and diagnose it. You got to take it over a period of time and slowly watch the trend. And even if it's within normal range, if the trend is down, you are getting affected. And that's perimenopause. So that's my little short spiel. Mm. The floor is open to Ninora and Bettina.
So with me, like I said earlier in the conversation, all I remember of menopause was my mom going through something. She never spoke about it. And remember, I was born and raised in Dubai. So this is, you know, we're not talking where I lived in a village where my mom didn't speak to me about it. But she never spoke about it. Never, ever. For me, it started in my mid-40s. I had moved back to Dubai. And I remember, Bettina, I don't know if she remembers this, but she noticed that I was having hair fall. And she actually pointed it out to me and she said, Neens, do you know you're losing hair? And I was like, yeah, it must have been all those years of, you know, blow drying my hair for modeling. And you remember that, Bettina? Yeah. Remember you telling me about it? And I was like, yeah, I think it has to do with that. And then I started to notice the weight gain. Literally around 45, 46. I still remember this because I went on a trek to Ladakh and I was, you know, slim, trim, all of that, healthy, exercising and all of that. And like a year later, bam, the weight comes on. No clue. I'm thinking, oh, it must be the wine because I love wine. So I'm thinking, oh, it must be the sugar in the wine. And everybody, friends have no clue. You're talking to 10 people. 10 people have no clue what is going on. Everybody's like, oh, have you checked your thyroids? Have you checked this? Have you checked that? I even went to a gynecologist. This is the funny part. I go to the gynecologist and I'm sitting there and I'm crying in the gynecologist's office. I have no clue why I'm crying. Mm. I have no clue. Neither does she know why I'm crying.
You see a lot of heads are nodding for that.
Yeah, but not a word from her. Not a word that, hey, Ninora, you might be going through perimenopause. Because I don't think even she had any idea about it. You know what I mean? So it was things like that. And it was only over time, just chatting with Bettina, chatting with other friends. And I'm thinking, oh my God, this is what it is. It's perimenopause. And I started to write a book on it. Ask Bettina, she'll tell you. That was my first thing. I still have the book. I've not finished it. But because I didn't know where to go. I didn't know who to turn to, who to ask. I have aunts. I have friends. I have people older, friends that are older than me. But even they have no clue. So I literally started to write a book. And that's when Bettina and me, this past, Feb, when I went to Dubai for my annual family trip, you know, we sat down and both of us, like she said, and I was shocked that she's going through it because she's 6 years younger than me. And I was thinking, oh my God, now it's all coming together. It's all making sense. And so that's the reason we started the group on Facebook, you know, the menopause group. Mm-hmm. And we have had so many people, I don't know about Bittu in Dubai, but I've had so many people reach out to me saying, thank you for starting this group because I'm going through it. Yeah. And they're in their 40s, in their early 40s. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I would love to join that group, by the way.
Yes. You know? Yeah, yes. And we'll tell you about it towards the end.
Yeah.
But it's a simple group. We're not getting anything. We're just trying to, you know, get everybody on this bandwagon.
That's awesome.
Yeah, just to talk about it more, speak mm-hmm. about it more, hear about it more, you know, mm-hmm. and learn about it more. Mm-hmm. So that's my 2 cents.
Yeah. So Aarti, firstly, I just want to say that, you know, it's wonderful that you shared what you did because, you know, that phrase, it's TMI, is I think it's just shut down our throat to such an extent that we don't share any information, forget too much information. And that's why I think we find ourselves in this position where, you know, any diagnosis for us, I mean, anything we look up, any symptom, the first thing that we all go away with is, yes, we have cancer, which is not really true. And it's not a good place to be to start off.
True.
But going back to your question, Shweta, the first thing was, so my mom had a hysterectomy in her 30s, late 30s. So there would have been no way for me to know about when, you know, her menopause or if she had menopause or not. And then lost my mom 4 years ago. So definitely nobody to have the discussion. My aunts or any of them, I don't think they even realize it, that it is something they just consider it a natural part of the process. Yes, it stopped. Were there any symptoms? They struggle with it. That's a conversation because they don't think too much about it. They just part and parcel of what has happened. Mm-hmm. No matter how severe it is, you just chalk it up to age-related thing, not necessarily to the perimenopause process. And for me, I'm really glad actually that we're doing this today because I knew that we were going to have this conversation. So I wanted to go back and really think, when was the first time, like what was my first symptom? Because even now, I don't have any big symptoms. Like it's a little one, like the way my period comes, it's on time, but it has changed. You know, it used to be heavy. It's gotten to be really light. It's what, 7 days. It's gone down to 4 days. So all those kinds of things. There is, so the usual ones that you listen to are sort of starting to show up. But today when I was thinking about it, I have to say, I think my first symptom was really about 5 years ago or in 2019. My entire life, I've been a gym bunny who has loved working out with weights. And I just reached one point one day where and literally it was overnight, where I said, I can't do this. I couldn't get myself to go to the gym and train no matter what I did. I mean, I pushed myself and, you know, I tried to. And then I said, you know what, maybe I should just listen to my body. It's telling me to slow down. And now in hindsight, when I think about it, I think that was probably the first symptom for me where my body was telling me that I need to change how I look after it and, you know, what I do with it. So at that point, I said, maybe I need to switch the kind of exercise I do. And then COVID happened. So it was a natural progression. I went to something smaller. I did Pilates. From there, I discovered yoga. But between those two things, I think in terms of exercise, I found my rhythm. The change happened in that thing where not just my body, in my mind, a lot of things were telling me, I just need to slow down, you know, get to bed on time. I mean, like staying up beyond midnight was stressing me out. Like I have to pre-plan. If I have to go out somewhere and I know I'm going to be up at midnight, I'm like, okay, I'll sleep on Thursday and then I can be up on Friday or I'll catch a nap. It sounds ridiculous, but that was my reality. So I'm like, you know, so who have I become that I need to plan about, you know, my night sleep has become so important to me. My schedule of doing my yoga and things has become so important to me because otherwise, if I don't do it, I feel so disoriented and all of that. I was thinking, oh, this is what centers me. But I realize now, because it's not just what's in my head, it's also my body mm-hmm. that is changing. Mm-hmm. And which means that those kinds of things help align me and put me into the thing. And then, of course, you are now, I know for sure that I am in perimenopause because I have other symptoms. Like one of the things, you know, that we talk about in terms of mental health, my entire life I've been somebody who doesn't usually stress. And that, so even if I'm stressed, I'll stress for like 5 minutes. But because beyond that, I'm like, what's going to happen? Okay, this is it. It is what it is and just move on. But I would wake up in the middle of the night and really there's nothing much to stress about. You know, it's nothing that cannot be solved. And yet I'm awake thinking, oh, I have to do this. It's like to-do list. And then I'm having this conversation with myself in the middle of the night saying, how stupid is this? I mean, like, you know, I can address this in the morning. I need to sleep right now. But no, one can't control it. One mm-hmm. really can't control mm-hmm. it. So those kinds of changes, you know, changes mm-hmm. in sleep pattern. And it, like what Rama said, also my emotional bandwidth handle people.
Yeah.
Again, one of the other things I noticed was, my whole life I've been extremely patient, like very, very patient to a point where, you know, my friends make fun of me. You know, what are you doing? How can you put up with this kind of thing? And it doesn't bother me really. So it's not about being patient, but I find that I've become shorter. You know, I don't have the bandwidth to deal with that much, as much as I used to, which is okay. And again, it's come to a process to realize, you know what, it's fine, even mm-hmm. if that is the stage you're at. So I would say that, you know, for me, like perimenopause or my journey into it hasn't been like, bam, yes, okay, you're into it. Here's the hair that's falling. Here's the thing. Yeah. But if you start looking for those subtle signs, and for me, that's happened only because we're having this conversation mm-hmm. today where I sat back and actually thought, and I realized now that it actually started for me when I was 42. I'll be 47 this year. Yeah. So I have been in it very gradually, very slowly, little changes that are happening over a period of time that have led me to think that, yes, I'm in it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know, Bettina, I just mentioned something and I just felt like, oh my God, I need to jump in and say that because it feels like I've got company right there. When you said that, you know, your emotional bandwidth change and the to-do list. So I think my symptoms started probably when I was 38, 37. I was in California and I think Arati probably might have seen that transition in me when I was there. And I think, yes, there's, you know, the stress that happens, you know, in relationships and stuff. But I think everything's felt like it was doomed. Like, you know, oh my God, my life is like, you know, and, you know, you'd really start stressing about things that really wasn't really stressful back then. And before that, like you said, I think I was always a very patient person. I could tolerate a lot of things. I could, you know, I could be there for everyone every time, you know, I could, and I was really happy doing all of this, you know, being in the social circle, trying to, you know, kind of building these strong relationships. But then there was a decline in the sense of like, I just started becoming more vulnerable. I just started emotionally feeling that, oh gosh, this is just too much. Then, you know, the futures felt like it was a doom. Oh, I need to do this, but what about my future? What about these things? Everything, I took it, you know, as a day-to-day, you know, it was like things were flowing. Now everything felt like I need to interrupt and do something. Otherwise, the future is going to be a big doom. Mm. And so I think probably when I look back now, it's probably all still the hormonal trends that was happening. Yeah, now we're having this discussion. We can now perimenopause. Let's just throw every emotional thing that happened as perimenopause. But I don't think that was true because I think we're looking at the age that when it started happening. And the age is what tells me that many of these things that happened was probably perimenopause. And somewhere I was reading, like perimenopause, women who don't or are not aware that this is what's happening to them, you know, they can attribute their child issues with, you know, could have been perimenopause. It's like, oh my God, these children are annoying me, blah, blah, blah. Or the husband doesn't really, you know, I don't vibe with them anymore. Or the friends that used to be are now looking like a big threat. So, you know, these probably are, maybe it's not their emotional mental health only, but I think it's also the big factor of perimenopause. So I completely agree. I have been sleeping, I have had fairly good sleep all my life, but in the recent past, I've been waking up since COVID time, waking up with a to-do list. Without yoga, meditation, life just comes to a standstill. That got me to do the yoga teacher training, meditation training. I've been like doing all these courses in the last 5 years and probably to fix myself. Yeah. And I think this is why I have been doing all of this. So anyway, I am glad to hear that this has been a common experience. Yeah.
I just really want to quickly jump in on this. I want to like give this another 100%. Yes. You know, I started weight training in 2020 and everybody kind of attributed the fact that I'm going through this because I was lifting heavier than I ever did. And it was stupid. And then the same thing with, you know, I feel like it's not just emotional bandwidth. I think there's, for me at least, you know, I've always been an extrovert. I've always been like, oh, you know, I'll hang out with people, do this. And I feel that with this, because of your emotional bandwidth becoming smaller and smaller, your personality changes. You know, I feel like I'm a much more introverted person. I'm much more careful about who I speak with because I just, you know, can't deal with that. And I feel like with that comes your identity. You know, this ties into who you think you have been all your life. And suddenly you're like, wait a minute, like, you know, I'm a completely different person now. People who, you know you will be like, what this is, you know, like, there's just so much change that happens in who you are as a person. Because of this one thing, and I don't know if I'm, you know, attributing, Rama, to your point, everything to this, but the timing that it happens, you know, the, you know, hearing other people say, yeah, you know, like around this time, emotional bandwidth, you know, kind of reduces, you feel more sensitive, you get hurt more easily, so you are more guarded, you become more introverted, all of that, you know, this is so enlightening for me to hear that it's everyone's experience.
It's all retrospective, right? Now, somebody, what we're trying to do is we're living through that past. But what we're trying to do is if somebody is going through it, even as young as 30, 35, and suddenly sees these emotional changes, just, you know, I'm hoping that audience is out there listening to this and they're saying, oh, wait, probably my kid is not really that harassing me. Maybe it's something going in within me that I should take note and maybe not make huge life choices and decisions and whatever. Just stop and think that this is probably attributed something within. Yeah. So I think it, you know, our experience is only to help others.
Yes. Yeah. 100%.
So obviously we talked about awareness, right? And all of these different symptoms like hair loss, weight gain, all of that. And something very interesting when I was looking up. So there's this woman, if you all don't already follow her, Rama referred me to her when I was, you know, researching about this. Her name is Dr. Mary Claire. She's on Instagram. And she's a perimenopause and menopause expert. Like her whole practice is around that. She even came out with a book, you know, The Menopausal Brain and The New Menopause. She has two books out. And weight gain, you know, women all through our lives, you know, we're drilled down that we have to be a certain size, beauty standards, all of that. And suddenly when this weight gain happens, you know, talking to Aarti, talking to Rama, and just see, you know, reading more about this, a very interesting video Dr. Mary Claire actually did was something around the weight gain that happens before menopause, perimenopause, you know, when you're just like regular 28, young, and, you know, it might lifestyle, eating choices, exercise, and all of that. And the weight gain that happens during perimenopause and menopause. So she referred to two different things, which is visceral fat and subcutaneous fat. So visceral fat is when, you know, this is pre, you know, perimenopause, which is all related to your lifestyle choices. And subcutaneous fat is something that happens, which is simply not in the control of women. We all, like, you know, all women gain weight around their midsection. And it's not like, oh, you just do ABC and you'll be fixed, because it's not something that you can change. Because as is with age, I feel like, you know, weight loss gets harder and harder. We all know that. We all can attest to that. And to add to that, you know, this special kind of, you know, sudden weight gain. What have each of your experiences been, and how has that actually affected your mental health? Because I feel like all through our lives, you know, physical bodily changes that women go through, whether it's puberty, whether it's motherhood, and now, you know, with perimenopause, menopause, it deeply affects us, because again, it's tied to our identity and, you know, how we present ourselves to the world.
I just want to, because you talk about visceral fat and subcutaneous fat, I just want to, so yes, you're right. So subcutaneous fat is your belly fat, something that you can just take with your hand and just hold it. And visceral fat is fat that's stuck within the organ, so you really cannot see it. Visceral fat. So weight gain wise, you know, perimenopause can cause the weight gain. So it is very important to know that perimenopause could probably be the reason for weight gain. Other things are lifestyle issues and stuff. It's only perimenopause. But if you're taking good care of yourself and you're still starting to put on weight, then they're probably in that age group. That is a likelihood. But, you know, yes, I experienced it. I have been always a very, I'm always a very slim person. You know, I've always been like the size zero kinds, and then went to like even size 2 and 4. It was like, oh my God. I was like, so, you know, so I have experienced that. But having said that, I also feel like this is very good to discuss, because women now who are taking notes can also know that one, it's not like it's doomed. So once you put on weight, perimenopause, that's the end of it. Weight still keeps staying. No. But at least when you know that, you can address it through some various holistic means. You can bring your body back to what it was. But just know that it's not because anything else. It could be perimenopause, and there are ways to bring it back. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that was my spiel.
Yes, Rama, I'm going to agree with you in terms of that, you know, you can actually take it back. And I think this is something that I accepted for myself. I can't say that I've gained a lot of weight, but at the same time, I find myself, like I'm sure, you know, many other women do, just stuck and stagnant. You know, you hit your 10,000 steps, you do, you know, whatever you need to do, your cardiovascular, you do your yoga, you find this thing. And if I get onto that weighing scale and I check it, it's like, what? It's still the same. Okay, let me change my diet. And I do that for like a week or two. With the comeback, I'm like, what? It's still the same. No, it's a miracle. Nothing can get it to shift. So I think at some point I just accepted it. I said, you know, for me, at least, this is a conversation that I had with myself. I'm not going to focus on getting onto the weighing scale and see where exactly my weight is at. I mean, it doesn't matter. The one who knows about it is going to be me. I'm not declaring it to the whole world that, you know, oh yes, I've lost 5 kilos or I've gained 5 kilos, and it doesn't matter. It's doing nothing to me. I've just stopped getting onto it. Mm-hmm. And what I do is I just focus on how I feel, because I also have the additional thing, because I have hyperhidrosis. So I tend to, and especially because I live in Dubai, which is such a hot and humid climate, during the summers, my body tends to retain the water. So I bloat up. I bloat up a lot just before my period as well. So on those days, even though I may not have necessarily gained weight, when I look at myself visually, I feel bigger and I look bigger. That is to me, not necessarily to someone else who's viewing me. But I think that's also because we are so critical about our, about the way we look at ourselves, far more critical than, you know, others do. So that was one of the things there for me. I said, you know what, I'm just, I did it last year. I've stopped looking at the weighing scale. So I really don't know. If I have to enter my weight, I just enter a happy weight that I think makes me happy.
I like that, happy weight.
Yeah, you know, it brings me joy, a weight that brings me joy. And so I enter that and I just focus. And I think just consistently doing things that make me feel aligned. Like, and for me, I've discovered that it is yoga and walking. Those are the two things that really work for me. And if I'm able to do those things consistently, I can feel the difference in how I show up every day versus if I take a break from it for a week or, you know, 10 days or 2 months or whatever, which I did recently. And I found my head was all over the place because it was just so hard. So I just find what other things that work for me and stick to those and pick and choose and know that, you know, the body is going through this phase and that's fine. I accept it. And my body needs it because that's a natural process. And once this is over, I can go back to working and being where I want to be. Mm-hmm. You know, and it'll, the body will respond at that time because I continue the work right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's my take on the weight gain.
Okay. So my weight gain is a whole other story. We'll need another hour for this. Trust me. So I've been, for me, it's been my biggest problem other than my hair loss. The two things, biggest problem. I eat in a bowl. Bettina has seen me eat food. I literally, this is my food. This is what I eat out of. I have been doing this for the last, I don't know how many, like maybe 2 years, 3 years. I do the same thing. I do my walking. I'm not into yoga. She knows that. She's tried her level best. It has fallen over deaf ears. I refuse to do yoga. But I do my walk. I used to run, but I have knee issues with all the running that I've done over the years. So I've just, you know, succumb to just walking. No matter what I do, I eat my three meals a day. I try the protein. I've tried everything. I don't do pills. I don't do any of that stuff. It's only my walking and what I do. I used to weigh myself every day, like fanatically. I used to go, unlike Bettina, go and stand and go, what? It's not changed. Oh, I've lost 2 pounds. Next day, I've gained that 2 pounds. I don't know if it's just because of the glass of wine that I had the night before or what, I have no clue. I finally gave up and I said, you know what? The only time I'm going to use that goddamn weighing scale is when I check my luggage when I'm going back to Dubai. That is it, period. I put it aside without word of lie.
That's a good one.
It's in the back there. Every time I travel, I bring it out very, very politely to my husband and I say, here, weigh my bags, take it, put it back in the bathroom. Simple, end of story. But I finally made peace with it. It took me a long time. Mm-hmm. It started with my denims, you know, it wouldn't go because that's where my weight gain is. It's all on my stomach. Mm-hmm. I went from a 26 to a 27 to a 28. I'm now a 29, but I'm okay with it. I really am okay with it. I'm making peace with it every day because I, like Bettina said earlier, it's me. It's my body. I have to live with it. I seem fine. I'm a good person from the inside. That's it. At the end of the day, that's it. If I go to bed happy, drunk half of the times with my wine, I'm okay as long as I've not hurt anybody. So the weight gain, like I said, I would say maybe in the last couple of months where I'm making peace with it. Mm-hmm. I really am. My hair loss is a whole other story. That is kind of sending me on a depression, you know, like I really am obsessing about it now. I really am.
It's such a journey and, you know, just hearing all your story, it's so varied, right?
Yeah.
You know, from symptoms to like how much weight you gain to what happens. And I think both of you have beautifully put it as, you know, accepting it. Yeah. You become aware that this is happening and then you accept it, that this is the natural progression. And then you can, you know, make lifestyle changes and, you know, but again, not be weighed down by the number on your weighing scale. So just, you know, stop looking at your weighing scale, right? And it's more about how you feel, you know, more than the number on the scale.
Yeah,
because when you accept something is a normal process, it's what happening to you, it weighs down the stress that, you know, you kind of start blaming yourself or surrounding However, if you know that it's a normal process that's happening to you, that's the first step towards healing.
Yeah.
So we all want to heal in this journey, right? I mean, this is not a permanent thing. Perimenopause, menopause, this is how I'm going to look. At the end of the day, my head's going to be completely bald. It's not true.
Yeah.
You know, things turn back. But the first thing, way to address that is to accept it. So that way your body is less stressed and it starts healing. The other thing that I felt that was brilliant that came out of this whole perimenopausal journey that I'm still going through is empathy. Mm. You know, when some other woman is having a bad day, be it at work or be it a cousin or be it family, somebody in my age group or slightly older, but within that age group you're talking about is having a terrible day, is, you know, I'm not going to use the word, but start being a complete bitch. and I feel like, you know, oh my God, why is this person saying these things? But I've stopped and think about what they might be going through considering the age group that they are. And maybe this is also part of their perimenopause. Yeah. So it's provided that outlet to be more empathetic to other women's stories, mm-hmm. and, you know, sharing and thereby helping them versus trying to fight them. So that's been a blessing that's come out of this.
Yeah.
So I want to add a couple of things about this weight gain stuff. Both Bettina and Nora said things that really resonated with me. Same things happening with me. Nora, I've moved, you know, sizes on a monthly basis. And like Rama, I've been so used to being the slim one that, you know, it changes so many things. But what I find lacking is also weight loss during menopause or perimenopause is so different than what is out there. You know, everyone talks about calories in, calories out. That does not work in perimenopause. You know, the weight changes that we're experiencing are hormone based. You know, it's not because of calories. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the way your body, maybe it is calories, but I don't know how, you know, your body. And Rama, you might be more equipped to actually talk about this, but that's not a formula that's going to work. IF is not a formula that's going to work. Intermittent fasting during perimenopause works for some women, horrible for other women. You know, I wish that, you know, when people talk about, oh, it's so easy, just, you know, lose weight, and people judge you for having gained weight because, you know, lifestyle changes and all of that, you know, it's not so easy. And I have a 12-year-old at home, so I'm trying very hard to, you know, 12-year-old girl at home, and I'm trying very hard to not talk about body issues because I don't want this coming on, you know, like this becoming part of her, her internalizing this. Unfortunately, I think our generation has, you know, gotten so much of our identity with, you know, how we look, how we present ourselves in clothes and, you know, what our figure is. And I want to keep that away from my daughter, but it's hard, you know, God damn, like, you know, like you guys, I've stopped, you know, getting on the weighing scale. I haven't reached acceptance yet. I still feel that, you know, I'm going to fight this. Like, you know, there's something I can do. But I think more and more, it's just, you know, it's going to get there. And I'm just going to be happy with whatever happens. You know, I think I asked my mom, you know, and I remember my mom had gained weight during this perimenopausal phase. Now that I, you know, in retrospect, I realized she did. And menopause, she completely lost it.
Mm.
And one thing I want to tell people who are listening is this is exactly, if you're going through this, I think we need to focus on the right thing. Like, you know, losing fat should not be our focus. Building muscle is what we all need to, you know, prioritize, because that's going to get us, you know, once menopause hits and we don't have the, you know, body doesn't hold the calcium that it used to, our bones are weaker, like muscles is what's going to keep us from having that one fall that's going to, you know, require hip surgery or something, you know, and that shift in focus from, oh my God, I need to be this size and I need to lose fat. It has to shift from build muscle, so just get strong in your body in the way you can, because things are going to change, you know, stop being in the present, you know, plan for the future. In the future, you know, with your hormonal changes, things are just going to get tougher, and what you need are muscles and, you know, with the fat maybe.
You made a very good point, Arti. That's fantastic. I think you're absolutely right. I think collectively, we all have used our experiences and we're sharing them because we want whoever hears this learn to accept that there is this period of time in your life, in a woman's life, that hormones start declining. And these are all the symptoms and many more that we probably didn't have. But then the other part is like tools, how to handle this. So, you know, start learning to accept this. And because accepting reduces the stress, healing. And like you said, start focusing on what this end product is going to bring to us all. Because when menopause happens, there are certain inevitable things. That's where the inevitable happens, where, you know, the body starts losing, the bones start losing calcium, you know, osteoporosis sets in even faster. How do you prevent those end effects? And you're absolutely right. People, this perimenopause is the transition period because the body was doing great and then suddenly it's slowing down. And so the transition period is hard for us. But when menopause happens, sometimes I've heard women find a newfound energy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because this transition has helped them do something about it probably. And then when menopause hits, they found a newfound energy. So the reason why I'm talking about all of this is, like, to your point, what do you do now in perimenopause that can address some of the long-lasting effects that can happen? One, absolutely true, weight gain, strength training, very important. I am with Bettina on the yoga. So let me give you a little bit of a background of why that is important. Because the hormonal decline happens because your ovaries, you know, start getting atrophic. As we get older, the ovaries start getting atrophic. They are the source of the estrogen and progesterone hormones. So as they get atrophic, you know, they stop producing the hormones as well, and the ripple effect happens. So you need to stimulate your ovaries. You know, one of the things that yoga is beautiful, it stimulates the internal organs through the various poses. And, you know, there are particularly a few poses for perimenopause and menopause women. And I think there's a very Googleable opportunity as well. You can find those poses. And the idea is to go in and really get your organs to start working, stimulate them, let the ovary that is slowly declining still be awake for a while. And those start producing effects. The other thing is holistic hormonal therapies. And we will talk about it as well, you know, where there is, you know, others, not really chemical hormones, but there are other kind of hormones that one can use for these things. So it will make a transition process to menopause much easier when you start looking ahead and start first diagnosing. I did self-diagnosis. I'm pretty sure no other doctor is going to say you're going through perimenopause. So diagnosing, there's various tests, and probably we'll have a section to talk about it we will address that. But yeah. Point, Aarti, it's important to look ahead and say, what is it when menopause hits I need to do right now that'll help me for that part?
Since we were just talking about weight gain, I just want to add one more thing. For anyone who knows me also knows my love for food my entire life. I mean, truly, the way to my heart is through food. So it is, you know, when I started actually realizing that, okay, maybe I'm in perimenopause, you know, the weight gain is going to come. Maybe I need to start sort of managing what I'm eating. And it's extremely hard to do. I'm not, by no means, am I one of those people who overeats. I'm quite disciplined in the sense I'll have my breakfast, lunch, dinner. And, you know, I'm not a big snacker and those kinds of things. But when I'm eating, I love to enjoy what I'm eating and eat as much of it. Without guilt. So I did go through this little phase in between where I was like, maybe I should eat lesser so that I can prevent just that extra weight gain. And then I saw Nenora, who was eating in a bowl.
Yeah, true story. Yes.
There was no impact. Like, oh, if that is the case, even if I stop eating, I may still gain the weight. So maybe
might as well
just eat the chain.
Might as well.
Yeah. But what I realized in that was that just eating guilt-free and enjoying what I'm eating probably allows my body to process that food without it, you know, making me feel guilty. So I think that's another thing that we need to look at, you know, our relationship with food. Every time we're consuming something, when we're putting it into our booty, maybe it's going to somebody's booty. Not mine.
That's funny.
When we're putting it into our body, you know, are we doing it with sort of love and acceptance and saying that, yes, I'm truly enjoying it, or are we doing it with guilt? Because I think both of those actions would have different effects on our body.
100%. Yeah. I feel like it definitely has an effect on our mental health, right? Yeah. Because they say that, you know, your thoughts have more impact on you than you know.
True.
You know, from the kind of connections you attract outside to the universe and to, you know, the signals you're sending your body, right? So I completely agree with that. You know, in talking about all these varied experiences, I think one of the things that has come to light and we all can agree on is when we're going through this critical stage in life, like with all the other stages that a woman goes through, a support network and the importance of building that support network, whether it's professional, whether it's, you know, mental health counseling, whether it's friends, you know, and meetup groups, Facebook groups, like you, Bettina and Inora, you both were talking about. How have you realized that, you know, this is the most important thing, and how are you actually actively building that support network in each of your own lives? And what does it look like both within your families and outside? Because I also feel like one of the things that I can reflect on, you know, I was just thinking about the time I was around 14 when my mother was going through it. And it was very unfair to her because, you know, whether it was her hot flashes, her moods, you know, her putting on weight in her belly, there was no, she didn't know what was happening. Or maybe she knew and she did not know how to tell us, but we did not know. And we did not offer a supportive environment to her at home, you know. And surely enough, at the time, I'm sure our mothers did not have the kind of access to internet and resources outside. So I cannot imagine how hard that is on a woman who does not have that support system inside. So have you all actively talked about it with your families? And what does that look like?
You know, I grew up in a, no, I wouldn't say conservative, but we never spoke about, you know, when I had my period, I kind of hid it from my dad, you know, like my brother was around, I'd be like, okay, you know, like, you know, mm-hmm. if I were to, you know, bring a pad outside or something, I'd like make sure I'm hiding it under my clothes and then walking into the bathroom to change or whatever. I think I've always been conscious. I've always thought of, you know, menstruation, you know, or, I have family in India. I would visit them and they were a lot more traditional. Like, you know, I remember I was maybe 12 or 13 or something and I'd gone to India and one of my mommies didn't go to the kitchen. Like, you know, whenever I went, she was always the one cooking. But this time she just stayed outside of the kitchen. She stayed in one corner the entire time. And I was completely like, you know, what kind of drama is going on here? And immediately I realized that she had her period. And so she was kind of, you know, ostracized and she's like not allowed to move around in the house. That's not how I grew up, but, you know, I had those kinds of flavors, you know, where, you know, I didn't talk about it. And I find that this time, you know, I've really become such an advocate. I'm just going around, ding, 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 ding. Here's what's happening. My brother has a young kid. She's a girl. You know, I have close friends who have girls, you know, young girls and who are, you know, younger than me, but about to, you can tell, you know, all my periods, I missed it and all of that, about to go through this. And I've been one of those, like, just loud mouths, just going on about, here's what's happening. You know, this will happen. If it hasn't happened to you yet, this might happen. And I don't know if I'm being annoying or helpful, but I feel like it's something that just needs to happen. I haven't found kind of a group that's, you know, going through it with me actively. But I think that I might get it at some point when my friends hit that point. But yeah, you know, like I'm not shy about it. You know, I want support. And so I'll reach out to people and I'll talk to people about it. I'm not shy about sharing details. And I feel like that's the attitude we need to have because there's literally nothing out there that's going to help us.
It's definitely the need of the hour. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of similar with like Arti, I grew up very conservative. So even talking about periods, menstruation, menopause, and my mom's a OBGYN and she lives with me. And as I'm going through this process, I ask her questions and I think it's the cultural mindset. And she's like, if you think you have a problem, you have a problem.
And that is so Rama's mom. I can attest to that. She's so zen, you know, she's like in her meditation.
My dad as well. Oh my God.
So sometimes it is like, it's very great because I think that is actually very true. But I think as modern day women, we need to talk more about this, you know, so you don't feel you're left alone. Like I said, empathy is a big factor here. If I know what's going on with me, I would be less judgmental of what's going on with somebody else. And probably that will help that somebody else not feel odd about what they are going through. I think so. That is what I feel the community support does. I personally did not have that because remember, Shweta, when you and I were talking about it, actually, you and I had our own issues, right? Like I was going through a process and Shweta would not be able to understand. I just would cancel appointments. I just didn't want to do anything. My energy level was low. And I was like, these guys know I will take 10 tasks and be there for all the 10. But then I was not able to do that. And then I started blaming, you know, something else. But it was really me and my body not able to cope up with all of that. And I'm still working on that right now. So it's nice that I, when I started Googling and finding this was all perimenopause, and then I know that I slowly reached out to Aarti and Ruchi and my other cousin, and we were talking about these. That's when it kind of like, oh, I see. Actually, I'm not actually being a lazy ass. I'm just, you know, tired now these days, more tired than before. Mm-hmm. So yes, community has helped that way. I don't have a bigger community group, but I know you guys are going to talk about it. Bettina and Inora, love to hear about it and join that group, because mm-hmm. I think this is what we need to know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Nino.
In my case, I have no support when it comes to my family. They've never been able to understand it. I remember when in the last couple of years, if I lost my patience or if I got annoyed, I was, termed, you know, she's being bitchy.
Yeah.
She's barking. In my home, we don't say bitchy. We say barking. She's barking at me. Oh, mama's barking, you know. But I didn't know. I didn't know why I was being like that. I couldn't understand that. No one to tell me. Like I said earlier, I lost my mom when I was in my early 40s. So couldn't ask her, couldn't ask my sister, couldn't ask anybody, because nobody had the answers. And nobody, I think even till now, I don't think women have the answers. But since we started this group, I kid you not, and I know I'm repeating myself, but we get so many, but once you join the group, you'll see mm-hmm. people thank us for it. Women thank us for doing this. Women thank us for thinking about it, thinking of starting a group. Yeah, I wanted to write a book, but who's to know if my book would ever even get published? You know what I mean? But here, we're all in this journey. We're all in this journey together. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to kind of know that, hey, I'm not a bad person. I just went through, that was my process of perimenopause. You know, I didn't just become a devil overnight. No, it is the process. It is what I'm going through. And because I have passed that phase, I'm able to help somebody else who's in that phase right now. Mm-hmm. You know, like I always say, what I know now, if I had known back then when, it would be a whole nother story. I would have probably maneuvered or probably taken a different path, you know, understood myself, my body, my mind much more, much better than what I do now. And even now, I don't think I have all the answers. I go straight to Google. I go to Mayo Clinic. I go to Google. Like when I'm going through something, if I've got joint, like I recently I had knee pain. I had no clue why all of a sudden my knee pain was so terrible. No clue. It's part of perimenopause. And I've started taking collagen, because I used to take collagen before because Bettina had told me about it and I had stopped. It's one of those things. Yes, yes, I'll take anything. Anything somebody tell me, yes, yes, I'll do it. I'll do it. I do it for like a week. I'm too lazy by nature any which way. Stopped it. But now I've started collagen. I've started incorporating more protein in my food. You know, I'm a huge like a beef person or, a, you know, like whatever, red meat person. But now I've started, I'm eating protein, like I'm eating a lot more protein, like I'm eating meats, vegetables, like unlike before where I used to eat rice, like I'm a rice person. I love rice. I love my pasta, yes. You know, things like that. I'm just incorporating like healthy stuff. I'm still not taking any vitamins, which I should at my age, at 52, I know I should be. I had a massive fall in October, like a super massive fall, which I'm still reeling from the pain and everything. But that was it. It's also part of the perimenopause. I'm not able to heal like I would have maybe 10 years earlier, you know? So things like that. So I'm also learning. And mm-hmm. to me, like you said earlier, with this group, I look forward to, both of us look forward to you all coming on this group. Yeah. But, you know, just even when you all are there, talk about it, you know? Even in that group, we have like, I think, what now, 350 people or 355 or yeah, something?
Close to that.
Yeah, we have like 4 people that talk about menopause. They're all listening. They're all watching. They're all there. They're all looking at it. I know because they send me inbox messages saying, hey, thank you for doing this. We're following you. But no one wants to talk about it. And I don't understand why.
Mm. It's still a taboo. There's so much stigma still around it.
Even men don't talk about it. I have this one of my best friends, Bettina also knows him. He took a course on menopause just so he could understand what his wife was going through. You know?
It's commendable.
That is commendable. Like they don't understand. Like nobody understands that.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So now I've started, like I talk a lot more about it to everybody in my home, like even to my kids, my son who's 19, my daughter who will be 21 in October. I talk to her. Any, if she says, "Mom, how are you feeling?" I say, "You know, sorry, bacha, today I'm not doing too good. You know, this perimenopause is acting up," you know. So they're aware of the word. Whether they Google it or don't Google it or don't want to Google it is a whole other story.
Yeah.
But at least that word exists now in my home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even my husband, I would never talk about it before because I thought I was the mean one. But now I mention it because I've started making concoctions of hair oil. If I tell you the amount of hair bottles I have, I could send all of you all five bottles each. I think I'm going to end up becoming a millionaire by selling oil. That's how many concoctions I have. So when Edward asked me, "Now what are you doing?" I say, "Because of my hair loss, because it's perimenopause." So that's my way of trying to tell my family what I'm going through, because I don't know how else to.
You know, I was just getting emotional when you were talking about it. And one of the things is in the last 5 years, 10 years since this transition in my body has been happening, I'm 50 this year, I'm going to be 50 this year. This last 10 years since this transition has been happening, I've always blamed myself.
Yeah.
You know, I tried to adjust to be the person that I once was, but it was kind of something within me was making it hard to do that.
Yeah.
And I still remember I've had huge fights and like arguments. And well, even recently it's going even with our relationship, with our husband or kids and stuff, this internal turmoil happens. And I, you know, part of me wants to share this with Ananya and tell her why sometimes I'm being who I am.
Mm-hmm.
But a part of me wants to hide it from her because she's always known me as a strong mother. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I shouldn't be this. Well, I always battle, and I want her to understand, maybe because you shared this, I think it's helping me probably share this with her, because she should know that deep down we're all really good.
I feel strongly sorry, Raman. I want to interrupt you right there because Ananya is so close to my heart, but I feel like this whole concept of us, you know, portraying or showing our kids that we are strong and not showing them weakness is not helping them at all, because you're setting them up for failure.
True.
More they know that you can bounce, strong and you're weak, you're strong and you're weak, the more they know that life is about bounce, the better equipped they will be to handle it. Because she's going to have tough times. And if she doesn't get, you know, some kind of like, "Oh, well, yeah, my mom went through this and, you know, she bounced back," or "Here's how she dealt with it." If she doesn't see the weakness, she really is going to feel like crap about herself, because she will then not allow herself to feel that weakness.
You're right. I think that is what this discussion has really helped, kind of, you know?
Yeah.
And even I share it and I have my moods. I see this is probably perimenopause too. I cry easily. When we have these moods, it's like, I have to tell my husband, like, you know, "I apologize. I'm going to be a bitch." I literally have to tell him that this is the timing when I'm going to go ape shit. And he has to just.
It's so funny you mentioned this. I was at the gym yesterday. So I've started doing one day gym and one day walking. And I was at the gym yesterday and I started crying in the gym. I have no freaking clue why I started crying. I had like tears rolling down. Yeah. I was thinking, my mom, I have no idea what the hell was going on. And I'm looking around and people can see me cry. And literally I was like, I mean, you guys don't know me. So.
Yeah. It happens to me as well. Every time I have a tough workout, every time I have yoga, there are a couple of poses in yoga that I do that releases all of these, you know, like wherever you store your trauma. And I think that it's so healthy that you do that. Like, you know, it needs to come out somewhere. So thank you for letting it out, Drama.
No, it's very important. And I think to Aarti's point, you know, I think not only at this stage in life, women in general, right? They're applauded for how strong we are. And we carry that burden of being strong. It weighs you down. At some point, you're going to break down, you know? Because I think also in a world where, you know, women have had to break down so many patriarchal barriers, we've felt the need to show up as strong, strong, strong. And, you know, that has just been put up to a pedestal. But there's only so much you can take. And after all, we're human, right? So I feel like being vulnerable, whether in front of our children, whatever stage, whether it is health, whether it's the loss of a loved one, whatever that is, I think I could relate so much to this, because when I lost my grandfather a couple of years ago, you know, my daughter was still very young at the time, and I had to make a decision. You know, am I just going to cry and let her see me crying, or am I just going to hide? You know, and I think it's so important. So I'm really glad that, you know, you are vulnerable, Rama. And I think that is very, very important, you know, whether it's perimenopause and its effects on mental health, because again, all of these emotions, you know, they're tied to your mental health and how you cope, right?
Yeah. Vulnerability is such a strength, Rama, like, and you really need to let Ananya know that to have the guts to be vulnerable and to break down and to share that takes so much courage, you know, and that's really, you know, like, do that for her.
I am learning, as I said, this is a process, and I think it's helpful to know that this is not me, this is not my identity, this is just happening.
And it's such a long journey, so you know, all of the coping strategies we've talked about, you know, mental health, journaling, yoga, and you know, better eating, and you know, not looking at the weighing scale, all of these coping strategies were evolving, right? Like with anything. Like the time we became a mother, but we didn't know. Motherhood doesn't come with a manual. Similarly, and because, you know, each person's journey, each woman's journey is so unique.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what makes it special. And I think just giving ourselves grace and being vulnerable and sharing it will only normalize it.
Yeah.
And, you know, speaking of that, as we, you know, come to the end of the episode, in every avenue of life, when we talk to our guests and we talk on the podcast or outside, you know, we always say your vibe, your tribe.
Yeah.
And that is our support system, you know, where there is no judgment. You know, you can be as vulnerable. You can cry. You can curse. You can do whatever you want to release. Because as women, we go through so much, you know, with society, with our own bodies, that we need that support system where we can truly just be ourselves and express ourselves and no one raises an eyebrow. And I think by having more conversations like this and opening it up and having a dialogue is when we can do this, both for ourselves, within our families and our communities.
Absolutely. And I think we'll probably have another whole episode for how to handle perimenopause.
Yeah.
And we're bringing in a functional medicine expert.
Yeah.
But this was really to introduce what's going on in every woman's life when it comes to this particular transitional moment. And how we should all have our voices heard, build community, and build that trust that we're not in this alone.
Mm-hmm. And thank you so much to each one of you for being so vulnerable, to letting out your emotions, you know, being raw, real, and honest. And I think that's what makes this, you know, community, makes our podcast what it is. And thank you so very much from the bottom of our hearts.
Aww. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to add, because Rama, so, you know, with Aarti, I mean, all of us, I think we've just made this point about just culturally, A, we don't talk about perimenopause.
Yes.
We are raised to be strong. And as a trait that is so valued in society that often one can feel completely overwhelmed, especially when one reaches the stage of, you know, sort of perimenopause where your emotions are all over the place. So I just want to share something that I learned from my son. One is, of course, you know, we learn we are vulnerable. It's okay to be vulnerable, but we also need to learn to ask for help. And that is something that I think we are just not taught. It's not in our environment. We don't know how to do that. And when I say that this is something I learned from my son, because he's going to be a teenager now. And just in the years leading up to him being a teenager, there was this entire conversation around, and he's always been around, we're quite open in our home about everything that we talk about, even amongst our friends. And everybody said, oh, just wait till he's going to be a teenager. Just wait till he hits his teens. And you'll just see he's going to change completely. And it's going to be so difficult to deal with and blah, blah, blah. And somewhere he's in the background absorbing this information. And I didn't even realize it. And then there would be some moments. And I think especially with kids, you know, the larger responsibilities in most cases lies with the mother who's sort of engaging and, you know, setting the boundaries and raising those kinds of things, and less so with the father. And in our case, that is the case. So I think me and the kids are at loggerheads far more than they are with their father, because he's the amount of time that they spend and what they do is completely different. And I remember this one time that, you know, we were just at it and we were, you know, at each other and, you know, he was saying something and I was saying something, blah, blah, blah. And suddenly he turns around and he tells me, he says, Mama, if this is what, you know, teenager is going to be like, you know, I cannot help it, but please, can you be patient with me? Can you just, you know, let me just go through what I'm going and let me calm down and maybe it'll be okay. And in that moment, I'm thinking, oh, you know, like I have goosebumps because it has changed how I parent. Because every time I find myself, you know, being, because I can be super, you know, like, okay, this is it, it's black and white, blah, 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 there's no this thing. But it has changed me to be empathetic, to understand, okay, maybe he's going through as a teenager, he's going through that. But it has also taught me to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. So now if I find that I am, you know, in that moment, maybe my kids are still, you know, young to understand perimenopause or whatever, but they just say, listen, I tell them now, and I tell my husband, this, I'm going through a difficult time, just give me the space, you know, and even if it's my friends. So I've learned, and that's my way of not necessarily, you know, directly saying that I'm asking for help, like, oh, I need your support and this thing, but also just taking that step forward and saying that, give me the space to be who I am in this moment.
Yes.
Clears the space for you to just move forward without feeling this thing. So I think that is something that I just wanted to share, to learn to ask for help.
Awesome.
And it changes completely your equation with the people that you are around.
Yeah.
It's so beautifully said. True. And that's such a big aha moment. I cannot imagine.
Yeah.
It's
wonderful.
Thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys have the Facebook group that we just talked about. And so we'll share that link with our listeners.
Yes.
You know, as we really, when we release this podcast episode, because I think you guys have done a phenomenal job addressing this, building a community and continuing to build a community. That's very commendable. We need more voices there.
Yeah,
thank you.
And this episode will be available on YouTube as well in a video version so that, you know, we can kind of, our listeners can engage with, you know, all of us and our vulnerability, because I think that's what will connect us and, you know, connect people to, you know, the real experiences, and, you know, they can relate to it so much better. So thank you all so very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
And if anybody needs a bottle of oil, please, you know, who to call me. Call me. Have your people call my people.
Yes. Humor is very important to get through all of this.
I'm telling you, I'm like a pro now at oil making, you know. I'm mixing up different oils.
I love it.
But anyway, good chatting with you, ladies.
Yeah.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed our conversation as much as we did. Please let us know what you think. It means the world to us.
Yes, and join the conversation on our social media channels, where we discuss the many facets of mental health and well-being and share our collective thoughts. If there's a topic you'd like us to talk about, write to us at chaibreakpodcast@gmail.com or DM us on our Instagram account.